Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
It's a passage that God has continually brought me back to it. It's a passage that God has unpacked meaning after meaning from just these five verses as he's spoken to me about my walk with him, about where I stand with him, and about what I can have in him. I really love verse 5, that as we see the hope of patient endurance and what pressure produces in us, this hope doesn't disappoint us. It's not just something, a fantasy, because we now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is a passage that gave me hope, because I knew where I stood in my relationship with my Father in heaven. I knew what Jesus had done for me. I knew that I was at peace with God. I no longer needed to strive in where I stood with him. I knew that what he had done for me was a guarantee of what he was going to do. And that because of what he'd done, that I had permanent access into this kindness of the relationship that he'd opened up to me. And so this was something that was really, over a period of probably 10 years, a breakthrough passage for me, as I just got each one of these verses, as I moved from a place of maybe understanding it vaguely to understanding it and experiencing it in my heart. So as we look at being enveloped by God's love, it's this verse 5 from this passage that I want you to be captured by. Because of what Jesus has done, we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Let me take you back to a time period in my life where this passage was just fresh. I was learning to walk in relationship with God, and I'll give you a little bit of a picture of what that looked like. It was early in the morning. I couldn't sleep. I was frustrated. I was down at this beautiful beachside place down in Cambodia, down by the beach. This was meant to be this luxurious, for no dollars at all, holiday by the beachside with a few friends, with good food for not much money at all. And I couldn't sleep, I couldn't rest. I was frustrated with God, because I thought this was the blessing in front of me that I needed to be enjoying. And so I was sitting out in the water on this rock, and as I was sitting there, the Lord brought me back to why I was in the country in the first place. You see, I decided in between my finishing up working in the IT industry and my starting full-time theological study that I would go away and have this holiday. And part of this holiday is I didn't want to just do a holiday for the sake of a holiday. I wanted God to open up an opportunity for me to serve others. And so he'd brought along some preacher to our church who was a missionary, who knew a missionary in Cambodia, and was able to miraculously connect me with this guy. And we teed up this time for a couple of weeks working at a drug rehabilitation center up in Chiang Mai, the top of Thailand. Here I was down in the bottom of Cambodia on a luxurious beach, not enjoying it, when God reminded me, actually, you're not meant to be here, you're meant to be up there. What had happened? I'd been enjoying a bunch of holiday time through Thailand, through Siem Reap, journeyed with some friends, met some other friends down in Phnom Penh, and they said, do you want to go to the beach? We're going there for a week. And I thought to myself, oh yeah, why not? I can just go a little bit later to what God set up for me. I'm sure that'll be fine. Didn't check with God about that one. So here I was, frustrated, sitting on the beach, and God reminded me of where I was meant to be. Immediately what I did is I was going to catch a bus to get to Chiang Mai. I said to my friends, I need to go. We got back to Phnom Penh. I jumped on a plane, flew straight there, and arrived to where I was meant to be. There's a whole miraculous story of me actually arriving at the destination because I didn't speak any of the language, and it turns out the guy that had teed it up was away on holidays for a couple of months and was not contactable. But anyway, God worked these things out, and so I ended up at this rehabilitation place, and again, I experienced this not God's love poured out by the Spirit, but this sense of frustration that no one spoke English. I was doing some teaching of English, but I was not at peace. I found out towards the end of my stay that actually if I'd been there the week earlier, my first week would have been with a bunch of South Korean Christians, spoke perfect English, who were also doing a similar thing at this drug rehabilitation center, teaching English. Instead, I rocked up the day after they left and missed out on that experience. Well, what am I communicating to you through telling you this story? It's that in living in this world, we can get captured by this world such that we miss the things that God has prepared for us. Being enveloped in his love is something that he prepared for us in his son. But it's something that we can miss out on as we get distracted by the things of this world. As we were worshipping, I was reminded that these shoes were the biggest Birkenstock replicas that you could find in Cambodia. And they only just fit me. They're pretty poor quality. I've only been wearing them for a year, and they're that's off and on, and they're about to die. But what God showed me in that was the things that I can pursue with my eyes hold nothing in comparison to the things that he can give me in his love. And that when I pursue the things that I want with my eyes, I miss out on the things that he wants to give me in his love. I think growing up in a church that was very much run-of-the-mill, Anglican, evangelical, I was taught in knowing love, what you needed to know was the passages in the Bible that talked about love. You needed to have a strong doctrine of love, and that's what it meant to know love. When I was doing my pre-confirmation course, the person was impressed that I had all these Bible verses in my head, but that didn't impact my heart. See, we can know about God's love, we can understand it, we can explain it to other people, but we can miss that knowledge in our hearts. And it's the Holy Spirit is the one who brings the knowledge of God's love to our hearts. We can know all about God as a loving Father, but miss what it means to know a Father in our hearts. And it's only in those moments of quietness and trust where we lead into him that he gives us that deeper revelation of himself. See, when we read the Bible, we read about love, there seems to be an experience of love that is far richer and far deeper than just knowing about love. In Ephesians 3, if you'd love to open your Bibles as I'm going through some of these passages, Ephesians 3, verse 16 to 19, it says this. Paul prays, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." See, we're rooted and established through salvation. We have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp the width and the long length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ through the Spirit as the Spirit works in our hearts. It is through the Spirit that we get to know the love that surpasses knowledge as the Spirit teaches us and leads us into that truth. It's not separate from the Word. It's as we hold Word and Spirit together. As we read a passage like Ephesians 3, 16 to 19 and say, "Well, God, your love surpasses knowledge. Reveal this love to me." They say your love is wider and longer and higher than anything, and that I can grasp this in Christ. Show me this fullness. Help me to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is a prayer that we as Christians can pray as we start out our journey, as we continue in our journey, and we can be guaranteed that the God who is bigger, far bigger than our understanding, will continue to bring us to a deeper knowledge in our hearts of who he is in love. So I think when we talk about experiences of love, I want to make this a little bit interactive. Does anyone want to, let's maybe actually turn around with four people, and if you would like to just share an experience of God's love that you've had. Who had an experience, who talked about an experience of God's love that involved God using other people to bring love? Yeah, a lot of the time how we experience God's love is through other people. It's that comfort that overflows from one person to another. It's that all people have and share with each other, as we see in Acts 2. It's people speaking words to us for our encouragement and lifting up, prophecy or just words of comfort. It's that we bear one another's burdens in love. It's the Philippians 2 verses 1 to 4 where it talks about if you have any comfort, value others above yourself, and so bring the comfort that you have to overflow to others. How we often experience the love of God is as others demonstrate it to us, as they know God's love and share it with us. But Jesus gives us this command. He gives us the command in John 15, and he says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Often when we talk about how God has loved us, we talk about the love that has been demonstrated through other people. But this is, my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. In order for us to understand as I have loved you, we need to have Jesus' saving work have some kind of impact transformatively on our hearts, that we would know the Father better, that we would know salvation, that we would know the fruit of our salvation, that we would be intimate in our connection with the Holy Spirit in such a way that it enables us to love others. You see, we can often look to these experiences of love expressed through others, but what do we see demonstrated through Jesus? Where does his love flow? It flows from this intimate connection with the Father. Where he went before significant times of ministry was that place of connection with the Father. Rod on our leadership training day talked about how Jesus went to the secret place as a place of replenishment and renewal. He went to the Father to anoint him, to empower him, to strengthen him for what lay before him. For us, it needs to be the same. For us, our primary source of love needs to not just be feeding off the revelation of God's love through other people. That gives us a marker of what we can receive, but it's through us feeding off the love of the Father that he wants to pour out on us by his Holy Spirit. So as we think about that, what does that mean? We positionally, where we were created as a people in love. We are a new creation. We were reborn as an act of love. We're part of the family, an act of love. We are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus as an act of love. We're a receiver of every spiritual blessing. That's an act of love. We were bought with a price, the price of Jesus Christ. That is an act of love. We're pursued by our Father in heaven as an act of love. No matter how much we run and pursue other things to bring us pleasure, we're pursued. That's an act of love that pursues us. His love picks us up and it leads us to repentance. We're destined for a future in a relationship with our God who is love, eternally in love. And so we can think about positionally who we are and what we are created for, what's been done for us. Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 10 talks about how it's because of his great love for us that God made us alive and raised us up. So before we were raised up, because of his great love for us, he raised us up. So these are all tangible things that we can talk about that demonstrate his love, but how do these truths impact our hearts? How do we come to a point where we go, I'm a child, I'm a son, I'm a daughter, and that changes us. That changes us transformatively. You see, God's love is redemptive. It is transformational. And so if you know his love, it will be redeeming your life, that is turning it around and using it for his good purposes. And it will be transforming you, that is turning you around to be an even more holistic representative of his love in the metron that he gives you. That's like 3-4 times today, Rod. So then your metron is your sphere of influence. So why do we fail to experience this love? Why do we not feel loved by God? Why do we read passages which talk about the love of God being poured into our hearts and not know that love in a way that really feels like it has been poured in? It's because we let our experiences define our expectation of what God is going to do and how God works. We see how he has worked in our past, and we just expect him to work that way in the future. And so what we need is the Holy Spirit to lead us into deeper experiences of God's love. Sometimes I've found myself at a worship event, or I've found myself amongst Christians and gone, don't know what it is that they're experiencing about God, but I'm not experiencing the same thing. In fact, I've had enough songs now. I'm finished. And so I've had these thoughts and gone, well, okay, God, they're not making this up. They're not just putting on a show. Whatever it is that they have, I want. And so what we can do is, when we see people that have an experience of God's love that's different to ours, rather than going, oh, they're kind of weird, or rather than being jealous, we can go, okay, God, you've given them an experience of your love, and I see something in them that I don't really feel that I've got in me. Can you make the same thing happen to me? What is it that you want me to do so that that love would envelop me as a person? Our challenge is that all of us have had pretty average experiences of love through life. Even the best parents give kids average experiences of love. And this, at some level, affects our ability to experience the Father's love with a kind of purity. Our expectations of what love can look like is impacted by how our earthly father has demonstrated love. Not that a lot of really good earthly fathers don't reflect a heavenly father well enough, because no one can reflect imperfectly, and so we all have these imperfect representations of the Father's love, and so that affects our ability to step into this place where we know his love intimately. Our experiences define our expectation. I want you to think for yourself, what's the first word that comes into your head when I say, how do you view God? First word. Who wants to put their hand up and share? What was their first word? Holy? Rachel? Loving. That's a good. All-encompassing. When we talk and use words of God, we often use words that put this distance between us and him. When we read scripture, we can feel a distance, but the God that we worship is a God who has come near in Jesus Christ. We experience love deficits, and there's a whole world of stuff that I could go into here. And they affect how we view his love. People misrepresent God. Church leaders can even, Rod and I can misrepresent God's love at times because we're not perfect. Other people you know as Christians can misrepresent God's love. But the reason why we misrepresent God's love is because we don't know it fully ourselves. And so that's why we need to press into this place of knowing the width and the depth of the love of God that is available to be poured out to all of us. Because if we don't know it, we can't share it with others. And if we don't know it, then we're really speaking from a platform of knowing about rather than knowing intimately. I would like us to just pray a really simple prayer. And so I would love you to bow your heads. And if you feel comfortable praying the words that I pray, I would love you to repeat them after me. Father, I forgive all the people who have misrepresented your love for me. I release them from my judgments. Forgive me for where I've not represented your love well. Father, would you come and unwind in me all the ways in which I have sought to earn your love? In which I have felt unworthy of love? In which I have been separated from love? Father, come and break down all the barriers I have to receiving love. Father, begin to strip away all my negative perceptions of you. Father, strip away all the ways I've failed to understand you as you are. I know that you love me just the way I am. And that there's not a single thing I can do to make you love me more. Thank you, Father. Please help me to receive this truth in my heart by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, when I think about an experience of God's love, not at a corporate level where I'm experiencing it through others, what I think about is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. If God's Spirit is poured into me, well, what's it going to produce? It's going to produce those things. In that moment, I was aware of God's presence, his love in that moment. Sometimes I can feel those things physically. That's an experience of his love. That's just one of the ways he seems to work in me at this season of life. For each person, it's different. It's personal. He's a God that knows us down to their very hairs on our head and loves us and wants to demonstrate that love to us. If we want to experience more of God's love, we need to let a hunger for his love consume our hearts. We need to not put limits on how he will bring his next love breakthrough. And when he presents opportunities to us to know his love, we in faith need to trust that he's actually a good father and just step out and go, God, how do you want to show me love through this situation? I'm willing. Do your work. Luke 6:24 says, woe to the rich because you've received your comfort. So when we want to know more of God's love, we need him to be the one that brings us comfort primarily, not firstly other people, but firstly him. We need that relationship to be a relationship that brings us a comfort. When we seek our comfort in the things of this world, we've already received our comfort, so there's probably not much space for him. And so when you find yourself looking to whatever it is that gets you invigorated in, or loved inside, whether it's shopping, whether it's, you know, like it might be sport, it may be exercise, whatever it is for you that you go to when you're feeling discomfort, you actually need to go to God when you're in that space and learn to lean on him. The good news is for us that love is always initiated to us from God. 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son. So the question to us is, how are we positioning ourselves to receive love from him? What do we do through the week so that we would know this love? I'll challenge you, if you're reading scripture, it's good, but if you don't really meditate on the scripture, if you don't sit under it, if you don't give God time to speak to you through it, you're probably not going to receive his love. You can just read and feel like you've accomplished something, but unless you stop in it, you're probably not going to understand what the Spirit's wanting to speak to you through scripture. See, his love wants to redemptively transform us. So where is it that we're going to experience his love next? Think about the biggest void of love in your life. That's the next place that God wants to demonstrate his love to you. Where is the space in your life where you feel like there is an absence of love that needs to be filled? Maybe it's unfulfilled hopes or desires. Maybe it is... that there is a brokenness or an unforgiveness. Maybe there's offences that sit there that need to be covered over. Wherever there is a void, wherever things don't look like the kingdom of God in your life, that is, you are filled up in love, that's where he wants to bring his love to. He doesn't want you to look to something else to fill that up. He wants you to look to him. Where have you reached the end of your sufficiency? That's where he's wanting you to experience his love. I love the way Bill Johnson talks about the way he's pursued the love of God. And he's always said that, I want more of you, whatever the cost. Is that a prayer that you could pray? I want more of you, God, whatever the cost. The deeper we long for him, the more we will receive of him. When you're stepping, what are you stepping into that you need to be anointed for? Are you looking for that anointing? Jesus, as he begins his time of ministry, what does he receive? He receives the baptism of John. And right there, at that moment, before he's even done anything, the Father comes down and says, this is my Son, who I am well pleased, and sets him up. How does God want to set you up for what it is that's in front of you? What is it that you need his anointing for? In John 15, it talks about where to remain in his love. John 15:4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I wanted to finish up at my... time tonight talking about soaking. Soaking is something you may or may... Who's heard of what soaking? Yeah? So it's a form of Christian meditation where we think on the goodness of God. We think on his majesty, his greatness, where we invite him to bring what we read about to life in our hearts. If we're reading scripture, it's where we stop and pause and just soak on a particular verse of scripture that stood out to us and ask God to help us to understand it, help us to understand it in our hearts, to make it real for us. A basic formula of soaking is kind of quieting yourself down. I've got books on it if you're interested in it. I would love to run a night where we have more of an opportunity to go deeper with it. But quieting yourself down, starting to read Scripture and fill your heart with a longing for Him. Praise is a way of quieting ourselves down. And then we, as we quiet ourselves down and kind of give to Him the things of our mind that are stressing us out, we can then bring ourselves before Him and just gaze on His beauty. Use a psalm to just declare the beauty of who He is, your love for Him, your delight in Him. Thank Him for who He is. In Psalm 27:4, it says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent and set me high upon a rock." David must have had an experience there, mustn't he? To gaze on the beauty of the Lord. There's something in David's relationship with God that caused him to want to sit in that temple space, to sit in the presence of the Lord and experience what it is that God had for him. We can read something like Psalm 27 and say, "God, I don't know what it looked like for him to have a relationship with you, that he wanted to know you like this. I have a greater relationship with you because of what you have done by your Holy Spirit to bring me near. So therefore, I want all of what he has experienced and more, because that's what you offer to me. That's what Scripture points me to. That's an example I can look to." The deeper we are willing to go in our desire and longing for God and give Him time to meet that longing, the more likely we will actually receive from Him deeper, more intimate experiences and revelations. When we sense that God is leading us to something, we trust Him. We trust that He is good, that He's a good teacher, and that He wants to lead us so we can respond. If He gives you a picture or image, follow it. Ask Him questions about it. If He brings a song to mind, sing it. If He reminds you of something you need to confess, do it. Have that moment of just in the Lord's presence responding to what it is that He's doing in your heart, remembering who He is and giving Him that acclamation and praise, remembering how He sees you and asking Him to help you see yourself the way that He sees you. And so it's just that quieting ourselves down, focusing on Him, expressing our desire for more, and then responding to what He gives us. That's just a simple formula for soaking. So quiet ourselves down, focus on Him, express a longing and desire for more, and then just respond to what He gives us. As we lean into the heart of God, we will learn more and more quickly what it means to step into relationship with Him in this quiet place, in this secret place that is offered to us. What I'd like us to do now is we're just going to respond and do a bit of interactive thing. I would like you to find a space in this room that's not right next to someone else. Whatever position helps you to come to this place of quietness and trust before the Lord. And just as you're in that space, if there's anything just sitting on your mind, if there's anything worrying, you just quietly pray and give it over to the Father. Something He wants you to confess, just give it over to Him. You might like to just move to remembering God's goodness and just quietly thanking Him for His goodness, praising Him for who He is. And in your own words, you just express a longing to Him for more. What is it? You maybe want something specific. Maybe it is that you just, Lord, show me more of who You are. Reveal to me more of You. Maybe you're bold enough to pray, Lord, I want more of You, whatever the cost it is. Whatever the cost, I want more of You, Lord. I'm going to read from Psalm 139. Just let the words resonate in your mind and your heart. Every single moment you are thinking of me. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. O God, your desires towards me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I wake each morning, you're still with me. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd even seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in the book. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside. You wove them all together in my mother's womb. There's no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the brightest day. There's no difference between the two. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting. If I go up to the heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there too. Where could I go from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? This is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even utter a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul, and you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me.